Have Brother Jacob Phillips with us today. Why don't you give him a hand clap as he comes and preaches to us. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and pray that God would anoint his life, his home, and his family. Preach the word to us, Brother Phillips.
Man, why don't you lift your voice in a shout of praise right now? Come on, somebody praise him. Somebody lift him up. Somebody magnify him. Woo! Exalt the name of the Lord, for truly he is worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be in God's house and feel his presence in this place? Media team, please don't shoot me. But I'm going to switch. I'm going a different direction this morning, so y'all will just have to catch me on the fly. We're going to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. I was standing over here, and I just felt like the Lord shifted directions, and my first thought was, gee, thanks God, what was all that last night about? So well, I don't know exactly where that's going to come into play, but at some point it will. God's good God, ain't he? Well, there's about three of us that believe that. I said, God is a good God, ain't he? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Again, I'm so thankful to be here, give honor today to the bishop. Amen. What a wonderful man. What a wonderful legacy. And thank God for men of God that are not afraid to stand up and preach the word of the Lord without fear or favor of what everybody's going to think or say. And they just preach. Thank God for preachers. Amen. Amen. I always say, and it's kind of a joke, but it's not a joke at the same time. I always say there's two kind of preachers that make me want to preach, one that can and one that can't. And Bishop Sutton definitely can. We'll put him in that category before I get messed up. But just when I hear people preach and things like that and things that he draws. Thank God for pork chops. Who comes up with that stuff? I mean, just powerful, powerful stuff. And I know he's probably over there squirming, saying, I wish he'd just shut up and preach. But give honor where honor is due. And we love the bishop and appreciate him. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1. Bible says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. Woo, hallelujah. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel. Understand, in the Hebrew language, it's the same punctuation that is written in Deuteronomy 6 and 4. We quote it, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. But with the punctuation, it was literally designed to open up the windows to your house and to shout. That's why the words, Hear, O Israel, are there. Hear, O Israel. And so this scripture is written with the same punctuation in the original text, that the priest should come and say, Hear, O Israel. He said, shout it out. Ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Amen. If God will help us today, I want to preach just for a little while. I have no reason to fear. I have no reason to fear. If you believe that, why don't you just lift your hands and lift your voice and ask the Lord to help us in this place. God, we love you. We praise you. We give you glory. Jesus, you're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy. Come on, somebody lift your voice right now. We believe you, God, for the miraculous in this house today. We thank you, Jesus, because we know that you're alive and you're on the throne. There's nobody like you, nobody beside you. Woo! No man can do the things that you do. You're all powerful, all knowing. You're able. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Touch somebody before you're seated and tell them you have no reason to fear. Amen. You may be seated as long as you promise to help me preach today. The book of Deuteronomy is listed in the book of laws, God containing some direction for the children of Israel. That was given to Moses by God. We understand that God has a divine order for everything that he does. God is not just, you can read from Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You can read through the five books of the law and you can see very plainly and very quickly that God is a God of specifics and details. He gave them a way to eat and how to live, when to work and how to work. And he told them what to do in a situation of murder and death and how to treat the priest of God. And God gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments. But again, he also went through these books, giving them a handbook on how to live for God. Again, I want to remind you that our God is a God of specifics and details. And if God would go through all of that, to show us that he is a God of specifics and details. What makes you think that God doesn't know where you're at? Ooh, I feel like preaching on Sunday morning. I know we ain't supposed to preach on Sunday morning like that, but I just feel like stretching out today. Is that all right? Can we just obey the Holy Ghost today? He went through all of that stuff to just tell us, hey, I know the number of the hair on your head. I know exactly what's going on. I've got a way laid out for you. And if God did all of that, what makes you think, friend, that he don't have a plan for your life? You're not just coming to church living from Sunday to Sunday, but God's got his hand on you. God's got his plan on you, and God knows exactly what he's doing in your... If you're not careful, you'll let the devil get you tripped up and make you think that you're just happening through life. But honey, I got a God that's great. I've got a God that's able. I got a God that keeps me. I've got a God that watches out for me. I got a God that knows exactly where I am. I'm telling somebody that walked into church on a Sunday morning and the devil's tried to convince you that you're in it by yourself. Honey, you may feel alone, but you're never alone because God is right beside you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so he goes through all this stuff to tell them that he is a God of specifics and detail. And then in our text today, in Deuteronomy, it opens with the words, when thou goest out to battle. Understand that God was preparing them as well as he is preparing us, that there will be battles. Ooh, this is the part of preaching we don't like right here. There's going to be times when you don't feel like coming to church. There's going to be times that you don't feel like getting up on Sunday morning and getting your hair fixed and coming to the house of God. There's going to be times when you don't feel like it's Sunday night and I've had a long week and everything's going wrong and I'm just tired. Well, I went to church this morning. I'm in a battle. I don't want to discourage anybody. I want to encourage you today. But living for God is not always how we think of it. It's not always just a bed of roses. But let me just tell you something. That your worst day living for God is still better than your best day that you... I think somebody ought to respond right there and get an amen in your spirit and say, I'm with that preacher, because I've had some battles. I've had some bad days, but my good days far outweigh my bad days. And when I look around, as the songwriter said, and see everything that I've been through, all I can say is that God has been... I've been through some hard trials. I've been through some tribulation, but I know that God is fighting for me, and if God be for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah. Let me just tell you something. Can I just put this in plain English today? If you're going to have to go through hell, you might as well go through it on the winning side. It it blows my mind the amount of people that come to church. Ooh, my Lord, I'm feeling that country boy anointing on me right now. I just want to say it plain. And they're so weak back and weak. I'm trying to be good today. There, where I come from, the worst thing anybody could call me is a sissy. We got too many sissy Christians. No offense, sisters. It's 2021. You never know. Everybody's offended over everything nowadays. But it blows my mind the amount of people that come to God. God delivers them from a life of just of chaos. And then they get the Holy Ghost and they stump their big toes spiritually and they want to throw in the towel and quit. Don't you remember where God brought you from? Say, well, I'm fighting depression, preacher. Well, you fought depression when you were in the world. It rains on the just and the unjust. It ain't got nothing to do with if you're in church or not. It's got to do with life. And you need to learn how to recognize that even though I might fight depression, I got the joy of the Lord on my side in the house of God. I might have to fight hell, but I'm telling you, I'm fighting it from the winning side. Devil, you better watch out, because I know who I am and in whom I have believed. I am a child of God, and I'm made up in my mind. Come hell or high water, I will live for God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let some trial. Here's the thing. Let's just put this in perspective. Have you ever seen anybody walk into a bar room that were broke, busted, and disgusted and say, well, I'm not going to live for the devil anymore because things ain't going my way? When was the last time you heard somebody come to church and say, well, everything's perfect, that's why I'm here? That's why you came to God. Your life was a wreck. Don't forget why you're here, honey. You're here because you recognize that you can't make it on your own and you can't put the pieces of the puzzle together. You're here because you understand that there are things in this world that are bigger than me and stronger than me, and I'm not able to overcome them. But can I tell you today, can I preach to you for just a few moments that you can do all things when you got the power of the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you? You can do all things when you begin to speak with other tongues and you get the power of God living on the inside. You need to get the Holy Ghost and walk back and look the devil in the eye and say, I know what I got living on the inside of me. I'm going to try to preach through this as quickly as possible, but we may be here a little bit. Never mind, I'm not going there. When you see people greater than you, when not only when you have battles, but when you see the people that you're fighting and they're greater than you are, which means that you're going to face demonic spirits that are bigger than you. I know I've said this before, but let me stop here and say this. You know what spiritual warfare is in just plain terms? When you get the Holy Ghost, God fills you with the Spirit. There's a devil standing in front of you trying to keep you from going where you're supposed to go. You want to know what spiritual warfare is? Hit him in the mouth. You know what's going to happen? He's going to knock you flat on your back. Get up and hit him again. You might get knocked down again, but get up and hit him again until you punch your way through that spirit from hell. And guess what? Behind that devil's a bigger devil. Hit him in the mouth. You're going to go into battles and you're going to see people that are stronger than you. But God sent me to tell you, be not afraid of them, for I am the Lord your God that brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I'm the Lord your God that brought you out of bondage and brought you into his marvelous light. And honey, if I brought you out of Egypt, if I brought you out of bondage, then there's not a devil in hell or out of hell.
that's big enough to stop you from doing what I want you to do. I have no reason to fear. I've got the Lord on my side.
Hallelujah. And we all got fear. What is fear and where does it come from? Well, it's a natural reaction. We have all fought or are fighting fear in some form or fashion. Fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of the future, fear of the dark, fear of snakes, fear of spiders, whatever it is. Fear has become a part of our life throughout our life. And it is related most of the time to something that has happened in the past. What is fear and where does it come from? Fear is the chain reaction in the brain that moves instantaneously to the glands, muscles, and organs of your body. Understand that the brain is a very profound and complex organ with over a billion cells communicating between themselves. Unless you're like me, then you're probably sub a billion if you're like me. But some of these communications are conscious and some of them are not. And while we understand that there are sometimes it's good to be afraid, we also understand through science that fear is almost entirely autonomic, which means, whoo! Yeah. You react before you think about it. I bet you won't go to sleep on me on Sunday morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. You jump without even thinking about it. The process of fear begins with a stimulant coming from the eyes most of the time. And from the standpoint of science, there are two roads that the body takes, the low road and the high road. The idea behind the low road says, take no chances. It begins in the thalamus, a part of your brain deciding where to send the incoming data. Low road or high road, it always starts in the thalamus. It goes from there to the amygdala, which decodes emotions and determines possible threat. And watch this, this part of your brain can only store memories of fear and failures. It cannot remember anything else. Travels from there to the hypothalamus, which controls the fight or flight reaction, and you get all of that stuff, which simply agrees that retreat is the easiest way out. Let's run instead. Let's fly instead of fight, if you will. But there are other options that your body will take. The high road. The high road is much more thoughtful. It begins with the thalamus, which again sends, it decides where to send it. And then it goes from there to the sensory cortex. The sensory cortex interprets the brain. It's the part of the brain that interprets the data. In other words, it says, time out a minute. Let's think about this. Maybe it's not as bad as it seems to be. Goes from there to the hippocampus, which is the biggest factor in the high road. It stores and retrieves conscious memories that of times where everything was okay. And then it goes from there and it overrides the memories of fear and deactivates the hypothalamus. So basically what happens is your body says, hold on a second, and just for example, you're sitting in your living room and you're reading the newspaper and the wind's blowing and the door swings open. The low road says, somebody's coming in my room, and so you reach for that drawer. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all don't. So it's all right. For some of y'all, the drawer's a baseball bat. My baseball bat flies really fast. Boy, it's good we can come to church and have fun, ain't it? And so you reach for the ball bat and somebody's coming in. But the high road says, hold on a minute, the wind's blowing, I can hear the wind chimes. I'm from the country, we have wind chimes. I can hear the wind chimes on the porch and all of this stuff. And so basically what happens is your body then decides that everything really is okay. I went through all of that to show you exactly what God was telling them in Deuteronomy chapter 20. We are like the people of Israel that God was encouraging. Undoubtedly, there are people here today that live in fear of the adversary. What if the devil takes my family? What if the devil takes this or takes that, my marriage or whatever, and we allow ourselves to live in the low road process. And the rule of thumb, again, is that when we take the low road, we always retreat. Because, again, I want you to remember that part of your brain, the amygdala, there is only enough room to store up the unconscious memories of fear. All we can remember is the time that we tried and we failed. All we can see is the past mistakes. All we can see is every time that we tried to live for God and we could not do what we should have done. And since all I can see is the negative, it's easier to backslide. It's easier to give up. It's easier to just sit here on the pew and exist. Hello, somebody. But I come to preach to somebody that there is a greater way to live. It's the high road. It includes the rational hippocampus, which brings back the conscious memory. Simply put, somebody needs today to stop living the low road and stop thinking about all the times you failed and all the times that God didn't and all the times that God didn't move and he didn't heal. And you need to start thinking back to all the times that God did heal. And God did pay your bills. And God did come through right on time. Israel, stop living the low life, because the truth is you are more than able to overtake them. You are more than able to walk in and have victory. I want somebody to get this in your spirit today. I know that devil's bigger than you, and he's trying to get you convinced to live the low life. But honey, look unto the hills. You need to get up on the high road and recognize that the God I serve is greater, and he is fighting for me. And if God is fighting for us, who can stand against us? If God is on our side, no one can stand against him. And so he puts this little thing on there. And I love it when God does this. You pay attention when God does this to the children of Israel, because something powerful is always going to happen. It's almost as if it's an afterthought. God gets so caught up in telling them what he's going to do. And then he's like, oh, and by the way, I am the Lord your God that brought you up out of the land of Egypt. It's almost as if God is so powerful that delivering them from Egypt was nothing to him. And so he has to understand for a moment. God gets down into the psyche of man, and he starts saying, oh, but they look at what I've done before. That's why the writer would later write, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's because God understood that the children of Israel throughout the entirety of their nation was always looking back, looking back, looking back, looking back. And so he said, okay, while you're looking back, just look at what I've done for you. But while you're looking back, I want you to look forward and recognize that there are enemies and there are battles. But I am the Lord your God that brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Israel, I am the same today, yesterday, and forever. For I am God, and I change not. How many more texts do you want that he's the same? And he's telling Israel, if I did it before, I can do it again. I came with a word on a Sunday morning to tell somebody that if he did it before, he can do it again. If he brought somebody out before, he can bring somebody out again. If he delivered somebody before, he can deliver somebody again. If he filled somebody before, he can fill somebody again. He's still God. He's still on the throne. He's still able. Hallelujah. Can we mix this up a little bit today? Can I go back to my roots a little bit? Can I get one? Where's these mics at? Y'all took them? I need a mic. Are they hiding back here? Yeah. They're hanging right here. I got S7 sound, man. Come here, Brother Collins. Bring your Bible or phone. It don't matter. We're going to go back and have old-timey camp meeting. It don't matter. You can go where you want to. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 9. I'll give you a second to get there and I can catch my breath. 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 9. Is this all right?
Yeah.
Good. I was going to do it anyway. Go ahead.
And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying...
The man of God, he sends to the king of Israel. And first, we got to get the backdrop real quick. Ben-Hadad is attacking Israel, and he's coming against the people of God. And so the man of God, you have to understand there's this correlation. There's all, throughout the Old Testament. Every king, no matter how evil he is, recognizes he needs a prophet in his life.
All right. Yes, sir.
See, I just totally decimated some of your ideologies of you can live for God by yourself. Yeah, you can, but you need the man of God. So the man of God sent to the king of Israel. Go ahead.
Beware that thou pass not such a place,
beware,
for thither the
yeah.
Syrians are come down.
Uh-huh. Read.
And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of.
It's like he didn't believe what the preacher was saying, so he said, I'm going to go check this out for myself. Go ahead.
And saved himself there not once or twice.
Not once or twice. So what he's saying is at least three times he was saved there. Can I tell you, if the preacher got in the pulpit and preached that praise worked, it's going to work more than once or twice. Ooh. If he gets in the pulpit and preaches that giving works, it's going to work more than once or twice. This word of God, preaching works. You know what? It blows my mind. Now, I may be wrong, but God, when God called Bishop Sutton to Birmingham, he didn't call him, and understand, I get it, so I'm going to qualify all this because some of y'all will get hurt if I don't. But he cares about your marriage. He cares about your family. But you know what God called him to do? God called him to preach to you. It's not his job to fix your marriage. It's your job to fix your marriage. It's not his job to fix your finance. It's his job to preach about finance and you to take the preach word of God and fix your own finance. Well, that's good preaching, whether you like it or not. And so he saved himself not once or twice. Keep reading. Let's read through this.
Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing.
Yeah.
And he called his servants and
said
unto them,
this is where it gets good.
Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?
Tell us who the rat is.
And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber.
So he says, the man of God, watch how dumb the devil is. The man of God hears everything you're saying, even in the most secret place of your home. And watch what he said the next verse.
And he said, go and spy where he is,
whoa,
that I may
whoa,
send
whoa, whoa.
And
did
fetch
you, him. Did you catch that? He's done been told that the man of God is so hooked up that he can hear anything that you're saying. And now you want to spy on him? Come on. Really? It just goes to show you how behind the devil really is. You think you're going to sneak up on a church that's right. Connected to a God that... If you make your bed in hell, he's there. And if you take wings and fly into the heaven, he's there also. And you think just because it's your problem and it caught you by surprise, oh, the devil's been spying on me. Honey, it didn't catch God by surprise. God knew exactly what was going on before the plan was even made. And so if you'll let me go back to Wednesday night, that's why it said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, because I already know the planned attack of the enemy. I mean, really, go spy on him. And he hears everything the man says in his bedchamber. So read.
And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan.
He's in Dothan. I wish I had time to preach about that, but go ahead and read the next verse.
Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host.
No. Let's go through this really slow. I want you to get this. Therefore he, what? He did what?
He sent thither horses.
Horses.
And chariots.
And chariots.
And a great host.
And a great host after one unemployed, broke down preacher. Horses, chariots, and a great host after one man. That has not picked up a sword, that has not had a spear in his hand. Are you with me this morning? So I'm going to ask you a simple question. Who's afraid of who here? Who's afraid of who? I get it. I know you're looking at the horses and the chariot and the great host. And the Bible even said that they came by night and they compassed the city round about. And so you're surrounded by all of these things and you're scared to death because you don't know how you're going to handle them. But you got to understand, do you recognize who you are? You're only one person in an army of the Lord. And the devil recognizes that there's so much power in you that he'll send horses and chariots and a great host, and they'll come by night and they'll surround you and they'll try to intimidate you, because the truth of the matter is the devil's way more scared of you than you are of him. You have no reason to fear. You see, because you take a couple verses later, when the man of God's servant gets up, he says, "Alas, master, how shall we do?" He understands that they're about to die because they're surrounded, but the prophet doesn't get worried because the prophet understands the revelation of who's afraid of who. And he said, "Lord, I pray that the eyes of this young man would be opened and that he could see that there's more for us than there is for somebody today." Needs to open up your eyes and recognize, yes, you are surrounded. Yes, there are horses. Yes, there are chariots. Yes, there's a great host. But the truth of the matter is, it's not because that the devil can destroy you, but it's because the devil is afraid of you. It's not because the devil's going to be able to take you out, but it's because he's scared to death. If they ever walk in the authority that God has given them, if they ever walk in dominion, if they ever start teaching Bible studies, if they ever start walking in power, I'll never be able to hold them back. I have no reason to fear. It's just my nature, and I understand there's a difference in personalities. But I was the kind of kid that at 6 years old, I'd stay outside until an hour past dark. I mean, a half a mile from the house. I'll be honest with you, there ain't much I'm scared of. There are some things, but not a whole lot. And so my little boy, he's five, and I started teaching him the same thing. In this whole, I wouldn't call it a game, but it's a deal that we do. We coon hunt together, and we get a little dog. We turn loose, and we're out there in the pitch black darkness, and he's always turning on his headlight. And if there's anything you know about five-year-olds and flashlights and daddies, is they always end up in daddy's eyeballs. Somehow, some way. And he had just about turned five. He couldn't have been much older than five. I mean, he's five now, but it was soon after his birthday, and we were out there hunting. And he had his light on, and he hit me in the eyeballs with it. I'm talking about a million candle lights. I said, "Son, please, turn the light off." And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost will talk to you anywhere you let him. And he said, "Daddy, but I'm scared." And I took him by the hand. I said, "Bubba, you ain't got to be afraid, because daddy's right here with you. And ain't nothing going to beat you up, because daddy's here." And I'm telling somebody today that you're walking around with a flashlight trying to figure stuff out. You're walking around in the darkness trying to find your way. You know what the problem with that is? You're trying to find your way. And maybe sometimes God lets you go into dark times and dark seasons because he wants you to understand it's not about your way. Because when you come through this, I don't want you to be able to say it was by my little flashlight that I had. It was by my might and by my strength and by my power. But he wants you to be able to stand up and say, "I was in darkness, but the Lord was a light unto me. It was by the Spirit of God that I'm even made it through. I'm here as a living testimony that I have no reason to fear. I've been through
through the fire, but God was with me in the fire. I've been through the flood. Come on, somebody. But God was with me in the flood. I've been through hard trial, but God was with me in hard trial. I've been through tribulation, but I came through it. Honey, you have no reason to fear. God's going to walk with you. God's going to hold your hand. God's going to be with you.
And so in his little five-year-old way, he started telling me, he said, "So, Daddy, you're telling me that the coyotes can't get us." I said, "Nope." He said, "That the mountain lions can't get us." I said, "Nope." He said, "You're telling me that if there's bears here, they can't get us." I said, "The bears can't get us." He said, "Because Daddy's with me." I said, "Yep, Bub. Because Daddy's with you." I come to tell somebody on a Sunday morning that the lion can't get you. The bear ain't going to get you. I know it's dark right now, but there ain't nothing that's going to come against you. As a matter of fact, you can read. He said, "You don't have to be afraid of the Jebusites and the Herodites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites." He said, "Because the Lord your God is he that goes with you." I come to tell somebody on a Sunday morning, it don't matter what the devil sends your way. You don't have to be afraid. You can stand up, look the devil in the eye and say, "I know in whom I happen. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of the arrows by day or the shadows by night. I have no reason to fear." I think that's why Pastor James would say, "Think on these things, whatsoever things are pure, just and holy and of a good report." See, because that's your boy. You need to look at somebody and tell them, "You think too much. You think too much. You've been looking around and thinking about what could happen and what all of this stuff. You've been looking around and thinking about how the devil could take you out. You think too much. Just think on these things that are pure and holy and of a good report and righteous and virtuous. Think on those things, because you know what? Those things are going to tell you. Those things will tell you that you have no reason to fear, because the Lord God, mighty in battle, is on your side." Y'all, come on, come on, come on. "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." Greater, 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 greater. I'm going to keep saying it till you get it in your guts. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You have no reason to fear, because the God on the inside is greater than the devil on the outside. I have no reason to fear, because the God in me is bigger than Goliath. The God in me is bigger than the Philistines. The God in me is bigger than the trial. It's bigger than the test. The God I serve is greater.
Hallelujah.
When you go out to the battle and you see a people larger than you, how many just lift your hand right now and say, "I've got battles that are too big. There's people that are too strong." A word from God, you listen right now. I'm fixing to give you the most prophetic word from God you've had this year. You got battles, you got people that are bigger than you. Fear not, for the Lord your God is with you.
Say, "I want something a little bit more personalized." Honey, you can want it however you want it, but I'm going to tell you right now, you need to get that in your spirit and go back to the battle and say, "I'm not going to be defeated. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I know the Lord my God is with me." Somebody ought to tear out of their pew right now on a Sunday morning and step out of the aisle and say, "Devil, this shout, this dance is because I'm not afraid. I've got God on my side. I've got the Holy Ghost on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change. I'm telling you today, you have no reason to fear. Somebody ought to give God a shout of praise. Come on, don't just clap your hands and wait on the music, but throw your head back and shout.
I'm on the battlefield.
And I'm not going to be afraid. This in the spirit today. Just show me your hand. You got it in your spirit? Well, let me just tell you, like the prophet, there's going to be horses and chariots. But you know what the truth of the matter is the devil's not afraid of you. The devil's afraid of the word of God in you. That, Jesus, that's why this time is so important. That's why the altar call is so important, because that's when you walk up to the front and you take all the bread that's been cast out and you put it in your spirit. Can I tell you that the prophet is the prophet's going, you're going to go home and you're going to begin to prophesy that there's more for us than there are for them, and we are not afraid. You're going to go home to your child and you're going to prophesy that there's more for us than there are for them. I'm telling somebody today, you got a reason to shout. You have no reason. You have no reason to fear.
If you're in this house this morning and you have something that you're up against that is bigger than you are, and you say, I came to church today, but I've got an issue in my life that I need God to help me with, that I can't do it on. How many of you would say that today? I can't do it on my own. What I want to do for just a moment is I want to open up the altar. If you've got something in your life that you say, I need God to do something in my life today that is supernatural, I want you to come as close as you can to the front this morning. Whatever it is, I'm telling you, God can do whatever in this place today. God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Come on, we'll take the time to do it. If you've got something you need God to do, I want you to press your way in right now. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you today that all around this house are testimonies of people who had impossible situations. All around this house, there are people who were hooked on drugs. All around this house are people that were addicted to alcohol and pornography. All around this house are people that were facing giants that were bigger than they were. And they came to the house of God, and God parted the Red Sea for them. I'm telling you that today, in this place, there's enough power to transform a situation. Come on, press your way in. Get as close as you can. Now I need a person of faith to come and stand with each of these. Go ahead and come in and find somebody to pray with. Praise God. You might just want to lift your hand if you have a need. Go ahead and lift your hand. Because I want a person of faith to come and stand with each of these. And I want you to tell the person standing, praise group, I need you to help me. We've got some people over here praying that need somebody to pray with them. I want you to go ahead and let that person standing next to you right now, I want you to let them know what you need God to do. Go ahead and tell them. Tell them what you need God to do in your life. Tell them exactly what your giant is today. Now, if somebody just told you what their problem was, and you're the anointed person praying with them, I want you to look at them and tell them, I'm going to pray for you, and God is going to answer you. Come on, tell them. I'm going to pray for the thing you're praying for right now, and your God is going to answer you. Tell them. Oh, I'm telling you, I feel faith in this place. I feel anointing in this place right now. And I want you to go ahead and lay hands on them and begin to speak faith in the name of Jesus. I take authority over every demonic spirit. I take authority over every addiction. I take authority over every physical ailment in the name of Jesus. I speak faith. I bind every spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Somebody take authority. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of fear. I bind the spirit of anxiety. I bind the spirit of depression. You haven't given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I speak life. I speak faith. I speak healing. The name of Jesus, whose report are you going to believe? Whose report? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I bind sugar diabetes. I bind high blood pressure. I bind rheumatoid arthritis. In the name of Jesus. Hey, Katarabaha. Randabasatarabaha. I speak life. I speak hope. Come on, faith is rising. Faith is rising. Somebody begin to shout. Somebody begin to shout. In the name of Jesus. Find somebody to link up with. Find somebody to pray with in the name of Jesus. Lay your hands on them. Pray the prayer of faith. Come on, I agree with you today. I agree with you in the name of Jesus. Thank you. You're loosing angels in the spirit right now. Praise the Lord. If you're in the, if you're on the usher greeter team, you're going to be meeting over in the chapel immediately after service for Power to Become. They need to have a meeting. God bless you.